Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the first chapter of John. There are a lot of things that I never wanted to be, and blind is one of them. I know what you're thinking. There are worse things in life than being blind, and you're right. Being deaf, for example. That never seemed to me to be a big deal, to be deaf, but apparently it is. So, there are a lot of things I never wanted to be, and blind is one of them. And I know what you're thinking. There are worse things in life than being blind, being deaf, for example. That never seemed to me to be a big deal, but apparently it is. People who know about these things say that being deaf is worse than being blind. They say the blind person can see, or the blind person can't see, but the other senses compensate. And the blind person hears everything. The deaf person can see that people are talking, laughing, interacting, socializing, and he's not a part of it. Matthew and Luke each have a birth narrative. They talk about the events leading up to the birth of Jesus and the birth itself. Mark starts off with John the Baptizer. The Apostle John actually goes back farther than Matthew and Luke. How far back does John go? To in the beginning. You might recognize those as the first words in the Bible. He goes back to a time when there was nothing, and then creation. And he places Jesus there front and center at creation. In the beginning was the Word. I like a lot of words. I would call this a double, maybe a triple entendre. John does a lot of that. That word, the Greek word logos, can be understood in more than one way. So the Greek readers of John would have understood the word logos to be a universal divine reason, the mind of God. When they heard that term, the word, they would have thought the mind of God. And that's correct. Followers of Aristotle would have understood it to mean reason, which you may recognize as the second mode of persuasion. I use that. They also would not have been wrong. God is certainly a thinking God. And the brain he gave to his highest creation is very capable of thinking, using reason. We do that all the time. And the right answer is that the Word, it has always been there, it has no beginning, is God speaking, using words. It's the way God communicates with us, and when he was ready to make us, God spoke in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man." It's the plural us, "let us make man." And who's speaking to whom? "Let us make man." Well, God's speaking to God. God's the only thing in existence, basically, that can talk. God conversing with God, we call that inter-Trinitarian. Within the Trinity, this conversation took place. And wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall when the first, second, and third persons of the Trinity were conversing, using words about us? And we are not just higher animals. We are a distinct creation, and making and using words is one of the things that make us that. We use words to communicate, and of all God's creatures, we are by far the most able of communicators. The dog can bark. What does that mean? When your cow goes moo, what does that mean? What do the other cows think when your cow goes moo? Bertrand Russell, philosopher, atheist, even a broken clock's right twice a day. No matter how eloquently a dog may bark, he cannot tell you that his parents were poor but honest. The Word is God. And God used his Word to create all creation except for man, his greatest creation. God just said the word, let there be light, and the like, and now it's all in place. And then, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all of it. And then he took a little bit of dirt, which is the Hebrew word Adam, and he breathed into him the breath of life, then took a rib and made Eve. It's almost like when it comes to light, God said, light, there it is. Plants with seeds, there it is. When it comes to man, you're going to have a think about this. What's that going to look like, this man in our own image? Besides the brain, which is capable of reason and logic, logos, God gave us mouths that are capable of expressing those thoughts for better or for worse. And we do a lot of that, don't we? Expressing thoughts using language. We use our lips to make, I learned this in school, in college, teacher education. We use our lips to make labial sounds. The teeth make dental sounds. The throats make gutturals. And the tongue sort of ties them all together. And then God installed a language app onto us that is adaptable to every language, to learn language. We're the only ones who can do that. Pig. He can't learn American or any other language. The language app makes it so Americans can learn American. People in China can learn Chinese, which is very different from the American language. And various tribes in Africa use, they call them the click languages, clicks of the tongue to talk to one another. After the Tower of Babel, God invented a lot of languages to guard against one world government. And so far that's working. God gave us ears to hear sounds, including and especially the sound of other people talking. Now, this microphone is tuned to make it hear the sound of the human voice. Our ears are like that. I, for sure, can't hear some of the sounds the dog hears, and that dog hears a lot of sounds, but my ears are designed to listen to people talk. I can hear and understand other people for better or for worse. And when God speaks to us, we can hear and understand him too. It's the way God talks to us using words, sentences, paragraph, the Bible, and the like. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. From the beginning, we looked at this last night, Genesis 3, verse 8, right after Adam and Eve introduced sin into God's perfection. They heard the sound. I think it probably was the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the sound or the voice of God. What would that mean that they heard the sound of God? Was he crunching leaves and branches? That's when you hear the sound of someone walking. From their hiding place, the guilty children heard. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you? I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Who told you that you were naked? Hearing that conversation, that dialogue using words, we understand what's going on there, don't we? So can God. "Have you eaten of the tree I commanded you not to eat?" And it didn't take long for Adam to use words, for better or for worse, to blame the woman you gave me, and for her to declare with words that the devil made her do it. And the curse is given with words. To her, pain in childbirth, to him, because you listen to the voice of your wife, not me, it's always going to be something, and to the serpent. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, your seed in hers. He will strike your head, and you will bruise his heel." And since that fall into sin, words have been, yeah, for better or for worse. When we were kids, don't you do this, as we were throwing parts of tree and earth at each other and saying things they started at, we would chant, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's not true. That's not true. Sometimes we have to go ahead and throw some sticks and stones at me. Just shut your mouth, please. James says, the tongue is a fire, an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, set on fire itself by hell. That's what James says about the tongue. He's got a point there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The universal divine reason. The mind of God took upon Himself human flesh with ears and a mouth and a brain and a language app. It did not look to the naked eye anything like the mind of God in those inconspicuous, inauspicious, unpretentious surroundings. Didn't look like it. Bethlehem? Out back in the barn? In a feed trough? It smells like something in here. And is this what the mind of God smells like? Just saying. But the shepherds, they knew what was going on because the angels told them what was going on using words. It's the same way Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph knew what was going on. So they went into town to see for themselves. Then they did what shepherds do. When they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered. Wondered at what? It's very clear there. Doesn't come out so much in the English. It's very clear that what they wondered at was the words the shepherds spoke. The words that they said telling them about Jesus, at that they wondered. When they heard it, they wondered. From the beginning, the baby made sounds, but the psalm says he didn't cry, so let's go with that. That question, did Jesus cry, is in the same category for me of how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. That discussion's dead to me. They actually use discussions like that to sharpen your logic, and I get that. But it's dead to me. Later, he used those tools at his disposal to make words, then sentences. And the Word became flesh, became a pretty good talker. Pretty good talker. Did you put up any lights for Christmas? We did a few, not a lot, but a few. One thing about Christmas, the lights all go on around Christmas time. It's a Christmas thing. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. Those lights are to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. And John talked about him, saying, the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. And that's not a new thing, is it? It's not a new thing that people prefer the darkness over the light. And we see that all the time, don't we? Talking to somebody last week at the lawyer's office, I'm not in trouble, who used words to express difficulty in keeping, quote, the true meaning of Christmas. And I'm with you on that. I'm working on it. Tom Holland, I've talked about him before. He likes Christianity, and on some level he wants to be one of us, but he just can't. A few years ago he pointed out that we are the ones responsible for allowing the secularization of our religion and of the observance of Christmas, and he's correct. He's correct. It's our fault that people don't know the true meaning of Christmas, and a lot of them don't. The thing is, where religion is the state religion, everybody participates in the state religion. You have to, whether you like it or not. In Saudi Arabia, for example, you participate in their religious observances whether you like it or not. Christianity is not allowed at all in Saudi Arabia. In pagan Rome, the Rome of John and Jesus, one of the problems the Romans had with the Christians, what? Our gods aren't good enough for you? I don't want to force anybody by law to come to church anytime, not even on Christmas. And that's not the way we do things. And we don't force people to convert to Christianity, never have. I finished my book, The Myth of Andalusian Paradise, and the author said that Constantine 314, Edict of Milan, did not make Christianity the official state religion. Others talk about Constantine's forced conversion of the Jews. They were driven into the river at the point of the sword, and they were forced to be baptized, but I'm skeptical because I can't find any actual accounts of that. I think it's just lazy scholars passing on the same lies to the next generation. And if Constantine had done that, he wouldn't have done it for long. You know the Salem witch trials? 13 witches were killed in Salem, Massachusetts. Very small incident in the big scope of things. The Christians in the next town over said, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You need to stop that. And if Constantine would have been forcing conversions, people would have said, that's not the way we do things. The man who wrote the book said that Theodosius made Christianity the state religion with the Edict of Thessalonica, 387. But I read that, and Theodosius did not make Christianity the state religion. He was an Orthodox Christian who criticized the Arians, the Jehovah's Witnesses of his days, like many people do that today, but he did not make Christianity the state religion. That's not how we do it. You don't have to come to church anytime. You don't have to come to church on Christmas. And you can take the true meaning of Christmas all the way out of it if you want to. Fundamentally, the problem is they want to lump Christianity in with all the other religions, and we're not like the other religions. They want to say we're no different from the religion of violence. Professor at Augustana College wrote, and he's wrong. But more to the point, people like that are the same people who don't understand the concept of waiting until you're married. They don't understand the concept that someone would become a Christian by, for some other reason, rather than being forced. And they kind of look at those first 1,000 years of Christianity, and they don't see how Christianity would spread otherwise. People like Augustine and Constantine and the like, they think, must have forced people to convert. Why else would they become Christians, and so many of them? The religion of violence, born of violence, we can see how that one spreads by violence. Eastern religions, they're not really religions. As a matter of fact, in the marketplace of religions, Christianity is a good fit for people. And a lot of people look at that and they become Christians because they want to. Few things. For example, in Christianity, women are people too. And I think that would appeal to women. In Christianity, you don't have to make human sacrifices. You don't have to be sacrificed as a human in our religion. Forgiveness, that's a big thing to people from other religions. Forgiveness that takes away your sins And another thing about Christianity, there's always more to learn about the mind of God. The Word became flesh. He came to His own, and His own people received Him not, but to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the power to become children of God. Worldwide, only 2% of deaf people are Christians. That means 98% of deaf people in the world are not Christians. I think that's probably why Christianity in the 19th century, I believe, developed sign language. Sign language. And Pastor Eckert, Pastor Tim Eckert, you want to know what the Iowa District East does? Talked to him a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago. He gets around the state. Gets around the state to different churches, small groups every week, and preaches to deaf people about Jesus. He teaches language, sign language classes. My long-haired nephew, the president over at St. Matthew, has taken sign language from Pastor Eckert. And there will be no deafness in heaven. In heaven, everybody will hear. In fact, when we hear about heaven, always, almost always, what goes on in heaven is a group activity. And often involves the group, the Christians, using words. The Word has always been there from eternity. God is verbal. He uses words to communicate with Himself within the Trinity. He uses the Word to create all that He created, and then He created us. And He uses words to talk to us about Himself, and we talk back with words, using words to worship Him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He continues to dwell among us. And the Word of the Lord endures forever. It had no beginning, it has no end. So, I'm looking forward to many great conversations in heaven. And the deaf will, well, there won't be any deaf people. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.